Pray with me. Father, we give you praise this evening for your grace. We give you praise for your holiness. We praise you that you are infinite and wise and just. We praise you that you are merciful. And we praise you that you have spoken to us through your word. And as we have just sung, we praise you that your word is never broken. We thank you for the promises that were fulfilled in Christ's first coming. And we praise you, Lord, that your word guarantees and gives us a hope that we can bank on, that he will come again and that he will bring us to glory when this life is ended. Father, I pray that you would teach us now as we come to your word. You would speak to us, help us, encourage us, and prepare us to intercede this evening. We ask all of this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Each of us is waiting for something. Now, it might be something small. You may have just finished your semester or are nearing the end of your semester, so you wait for your grades. You find out, what did I get on that exam? What did I get in that class? Maybe you've come down with a cold, and you're like, I can't wait to get over this cold. Or a child has a cold, and you can't wait for them to sleep through the night again. Maybe you are stressed with a busy season, and you can't wait to get through these next few weeks or this next season, however long it might be. I can't wait to get through this. But all of us undoubtedly are also waiting for big things, significant things. What is it in your life right now that you wish were different, that you hope would be fulfilled, a desire that you have, or a trial that you wish were over? Maybe it's that you desperately long to be married, and you're waiting. You ache for a child, and you're waiting. You pray for a new job. You pray for something to change in your work that feels dead end and hopeless, and you're waiting. You're struggling with a chronic illness, and you're waiting for relief or change. You're waiting for a diagnosis to return. You're waiting for a treatment to end. You're waiting for the pain to lessen. Maybe it's that you're waiting for a loved one to come to Christ, to turn around and to come back and be restored in relationship with you or the Lord. All of us are waiting for any number of things. So as I was thinking about this prayer service in December, as we are in Advent, I thought about what better way for us to pray than to pray for how the Lord wants to work in us while we wait. Advent means arrival, and it's a time of waiting for Christ's arrival in the world. We remember his first arrival over 2,000 years ago when he came as a tiny baby, born in Bethlehem to Mary and Joseph, and we anticipate his second arrival when he will come back and he will usher in the consummation of his kingdom. Ultimately, all of our waiting is for the Lord. We're waiting for the Lord to act, to answer our prayers, to deliver, to heal, to intervene. We're waiting ultimately for the Lord himself, who is really the only one that we need. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 33. We are going to read verses 20 through 22. That's our text this evening. It's on page 463 of the Black Bible. Psalm 33, 20 to 22. Hear the word of the Lord. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Then Patterson says, at least as important as the things we wait for is the work God wants to do in us as we wait. God cares about the things that we're waiting for. And even more, he has work that he wants to do in us while we wait. So as we pray this evening, as we look at this word, we want to see that God is doing something in us while we wait. I have three questions that come from the text that we want to answer. Why do we wait? How do we wait? And what are we waiting for from the Lord? So the first question, why do we wait for for the Lord. Verse 20 says, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. The psalmist gives us two reasons why we would wait on the Lord. We could wait on any number of things, but we're waiting on the Lord because he is our help and our shield. He's our help. The God who created all things out of nothing by the word of his power in the space of 6 days and all for his glory continues to sustain everything that exists, such that the dust particles in this room are ordained by his goodwill. This God is the help of those who wait on him. So when we face trouble, he is our help. When we are discouraged, he is our help. When we are sick, he is our help. When we are alone, he is our help. If ever we lacked something, God is our help. We wait on the Lord because the God of the universe is also our help. He helps us. The psalmist also says that he is our shield. God will protect us. He will help us and he will protect us. We see this over and over in the scriptures. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 121, the Lord is your keeper. He will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. John 10, 27, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hands. We may not be protected from even the worst of pains in this life, but nothing can touch us eternally. Nothing can grab eternal life from us. Nothing can sever the relationship that we have with Christ. As Paul writes famously in Romans 8, I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is our shield. He will protect us, and he will help us when we wait on him. How do we wait? We wait because of who God is, but how is it that we wait? What is our posture in waiting? Verse 21 says, our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Ben Patterson says that we wait with grace, and that means that it requires two cardinal virtues, humility and hope. There are lots of ways that we can wait. We can wait in traffic with frustration and anger. We can wait in line and feel like, oh man, if only I'd not picked up that milk last rather than first, I would have beat that mom with this huge grocery cart. I would have gotten in there. And so we wait all sorts of ways. But if we want to wait with grace, we're to do it with humility and hope. And we see that in verse 21. How is it that our hearts can be glad? They can be glad because we have hope that something will be different. So we wait with hope, waiting because we believe something, there's something worth waiting for, that God is doing something and that he will do something in our lives. Think about a child waiting for her birthday. And she is excited and eager for the day to come. She's excited to taste the cake that she knows her mom is going to make. She's excited to open whatever the present might be. And she waits with hope because this isn't her first birthday. She knows that good things come on birthdays. So she has hope. A pregnant mom waits with gladness in spite of all the discomfort she might feel in her body, because of the hope that she has that one day soon she'll be able to hold her newborn baby. Now, those are good things that we wait for. Can you imagine, brothers and sisters, waiting with gladness, even in the midst of a trial, because of the promise that the Lord will do us good? See, God gives us real hope to hold on to in the midst of the darkest trials. regardless of how or when God might change our physical circumstances, we have a certain promise in His Word that God will bring complete spiritual healing, that He'll bring complete restoration, that He'll bring complete freedom from our sin, that He will wipe away suffering for the person who waits on Him. So we wait with hope. There can be gladness in waiting because it will get better. God will act on our behalf. And we wait with humility because we know that we are utterly dependent upon God for help. The longer that we wait, the more we realize it's only God who can work here. We trust God because we have a sober estimation of ourselves and a right and accurate estimation of who God is. Ben Patterson says, humility recognizes that we exist for God's sake, not He for ours. Only the humble can wait with grace, for only the humble know that they have no demands they can lay on God and His Word. In his classic book, The Believer's Secret of Waiting on God, Andrew Murray adds, he says this, the lower we bow, the more humble we get before God, the deeper we feel we have nothing to hope in but His mercy. And then he pleads with us. He says, children of God, will you not learn to sink down in entire helplessness and impotence and in stillness to wait and see the salvation of God? The Scriptures implore us to wait with patience, to wait with humility. And when we wait with humility, we will grow in humility because we know it is only God who can help us in the midst of this trial. The longer it goes, the more we recognize our need for Him. And so we wait with humility and we wait with hope that God will do something and that He has a glorious and good future for us. The last question, what are we waiting for from the Lord? We know how we wait. We know why we wait. But what is it that we're waiting for? Verse 22 says, let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. We're waiting for nothing less than the Lord Himself. So as we wait for health, as we wait for happiness, as we wait for relief, as we wait for any answered prayer, we are ultimately waiting for the fulfilling of God's redeeming work in us. While we wait, we ask God to pour out His steadfast love upon us, recognizing that His grace is what we need most. Andrew Murray says, if salvation indeed comes from the Lord and is entirely His work, just as creation was, it follows that our first and highest duty is to wait on Him to do the work that pleases Him. Psalm 62 says, for God alone my soul waits in silence. From Him comes my salvation. We're waiting for the Lord to bring about some change in us that we so desperately want to come through. But even more than whatever that circumstance is, we are waiting for the Lord to do His work of salvation in our hearts, in our minds, in our whole bodies. It comes by His steadfast love. It comes by His mercy. So our pleading with God is both for that specific request, that there might be some change in our lives, but also that His grace would be upon us, that we would know His steadfast love, that it would be filling us, hemming us in, guarding us, strengthening us, guiding us, growing us, protecting us, preparing us for eternal glory. Isaiah prophesied that a child would be born of a virgin, that he would come from the line of Jesse, that he would be born in Nazareth, that he would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Undoubtedly, the people hearing Isaiah's message in his time took courage in the midst of whatever trial they were facing, thinking, yes, a child is going to come and will set us free and will be the light that we've been hoping for. And yet, the child did not come in their lifetime. He did not come in the lifetime of their children or of their children's children. God's people had to wait 700 years before the Christ child arrived in Bethlehem. God works his perfect ways out in his perfect timing. And what seems like 700 years to us is a very small amount of time to the Lord. And he is worth waiting for. What is it that we're waiting for? Whatever it is, what we most need is the Lord. And when we wait for the Lord, he will do his work in us to bring about what is most glorious in life. We don't have guarantees that we will have all the desires of our hearts, that we will be free from sickness, that we will have a perfect spouse, that we will have the exact number of children that we want, that they will turn out as we had hoped, that we will have a pain-free retirement and a satisfying career. But if our hope is in the Lord, then we will be formed during this time of waiting for an infinitely sweeter and more profound blessing than any good gift that we might long for in this life. He's going to give us eternal life with Jesus Christ, our Lord, and we will be with him, worshiping him, with living creatures and all the saints forever and ever. And if that weren't enough, God promises to bless us here and now with grace sufficient for each day. Day by day by day, he will provide all that we need. He is worth waiting for, and he is doing a good work in us while we wait. Thanks be to God.